Hello, I am Isawellen, and this is Isawellen Writes Grown-Up Storytime, the podcast where I read my current works in progress, as well as from other selections, and we also have a little bit of chit-chat and wine time about the writing process and books that I love. Thank you so much for joining me today. Hello. If you forward your recording or are able to forward your recording to about 9 minutes in, 9:08, I think, then you can skip this talk and go right to chapter 2, part 2 of Sophie and Micah. Thank you so much for listening. I hope you guys are doing really well. All right. So thank you for sticking around and listening to this. At the end of my last podcast, I gushed about a voice artist who calls himself In My Hands, and that just happens to be his Twitter handle and Literotica handle and his in general handle for the work that he does. His real name, though, I found out by listening to an interview today, is Ben, so we can call him Ben. I would love Ben to read for me. Maybe something 10 minutes in length from Monster, Nathaniel Dare's point of view, an intimate moment with him and Nea. And since it's a megaverse, you must know what I mean when I say intimate moment. He is indicated in his review that he's busy and he has stuff going on and he's not on social media a lot. And so I had the feeling that maybe I need to do something special to get his attention. If you all would bombard him, okay, if 10 people, 5 people, no, if all 20 of you, if everybody who read Her Broken Alpha would bombard him and say, please record this audio with Isawellen, we would buy it, then maybe he would be motivated to work with me, because I would definitely want him to earn some income off of that. I also came up with maybe if you donated to GiveButter, then I could use that as part of my what is that? You know, it starts with an R and ends with a shun, and it means, you know, pay. I could pay him some money up front. Or I could just save my coffee money. I just think he would be incredible, and now it's going to be the get for me of 2020 is getting to work with this guy. So I wanted to share that with you. The other thing I wanted to share with you briefly, is the difference between erotica and erotic romance. There have been a few discussions with people, different Eric on Twitter, whatever, in a universe of people, and when it comes to Amazon, the difference between erotica and erotic romance. Romance has a happy for now or a happily ever after. It is about the relationship. Sex furthers the relationship in the romance. Even if that sex is a masturbation scene, in that scene, the person is either thinking about the other person or is being watched by the other person, whether they know it or not. And it furthers the relationship, whether it be an obsessive, stalkerish, unhealthy relationship, it doesn't matter. That would be dark romance, but it still furthers the relationship. The reason, and erotica is an individual's journey, an individual's, whether it's just titillation and pleasure and to experience something and it's recorded, or whether it's deeply psychological, or however that journey progresses, short, long, however it looks, it is usually one point of view and it is an individual's journey, and it can be any amount of partners. Oh, that's the other thing. Yes, reverse harem and menage is romance if it's relationship driven, if it's where you get some, can swingers be, is that romance? Not necessarily, because the people you are swinging with do not come into the relationship. If they come into, if you go out one night and it that's where you get a little bit more gray area, unless you're swinging because it's somehow, you know, multiple partners that you may never meet again, unless it's all relationship driven. So if you're doing that for the other person or for the other person's pleasure, it's a gray area, but you can still have, call it romance because it has romance in it. Somebody said once, well, if it has cheating, then it's not romance. No. I don't like cheating in a romance novel. I know many people who don't like cheating in a romance novel. But I'm sorry, there are many, many romance novels with some kind of cheating or third party or a triangle that are considered romance. So that's the difference, if sex furthers the relationship or if sex furthers the individual's journey. And I read that somewhere on Twitter. I was trying to find the author of that. If it's you, let me know. I'd love to give you credit for it because I thought it was brilliant and very true. Now, when you get to where you're posting your work and you're sharing your work and you're selling your work, this is the thing. I explained to somebody, and this is what I believe, is that certain businesses that sell romance novels and erotica novels search keywords. They don't search for a happy ending. They don't have algorithms that can understand whether if there's a relationship. So they will limit their definition of erotica and romance to, you know, how much sex is in the book or keywords, or if somebody says in a review or complains about it, you can have a book reshelved as erotica when you're trying to sell it as romance. So, because certain stores don't care. The other thing is I want to say certain stores, if you are a reader and you like to buy your books at Amazon or at Kindle Unlimited and you can't find what you're looking for, Amazon has been very good about listening to its consumers. If somebody complains about a book and says, oh my gosh, this book is not formatted well, I can't read it, it has a ton of typos, they will make the author take that book down. If somebody complains, you know, it has content that is not acceptable, like whatever that content might be, like a rape scene or something, Amazon's been known to take it down or to move it to an adult section, which is their erotic section, which is where it's very hard to find things. So as a consumer, you do have some power. You can say, listen, I have my Kindle Unlimited and I love it, but I'm only seeing the same books over and over again. And I don't know the search terms anymore to find the books that I love. So you could absolutely complain to them, call them. If you want that number, man, oh man, maybe we should find that. But it's really up to consumers to advocate. The authors can't do it because Amazon, yeah, the authors can't do it. Authors need the consumers to advocate. So there you go. I think I shared the difference between erotica and romance. And so this audio erotica, it is, it's a little bit different. I think I said earlier, it's a little bit like phone sex, but it has an element of relationship in it and imagination and fantasy that makes it more romantic than just watching or listening to straight porn. It's a little bit different. I didn't know anything about it until yesterday. So there's that. If you can hear that in the background, that is a child who is home. I am recording in the bedroom with the door shut and it's raining outside, so there's all kinds of ambient noise and I apologize. But it is what it is because I am just a woman with a microphone at home and I wanted to bring to you part two of chapter two of Sophie and Micah and post that this evening. Thank you so much for being patient. Are you ready? I want to just take a moment really quick to thank Moye so much for reading for me. She's just amazing. I'm just so thankful that I have these friends that are willing to do these things for me. And you blow me away. And it's going to be the second half of this chapter is seriously smexy. So I'm so glad she read it. And she did a fantastic job, don't you think? Okay, here we go.
Recognition of the shape and heat of him never stopped. At some point, she was just so tired that she lost her fear and distrust. It seemed like some time passed. There had been an action show on the television with gunshots and car chases. Now it was some kind of drama with long speeches and deep voices. Micah's huge foot lay between hers, his leg bent over hers. Wrapped around her, he had one hand on the skin of her stomach, stroking gently, measuring her from hip to bone to hip. Fingers dipping in her belly button. He had been touching her the whole time, as if the feel of her shape and skin, as if enjoying the feel or shape of her skin. She should say something, do something. With his hand under the shirt, he was in dangerous territory. She had on no underwear. They'd been wet from the rain, too, and his hand was so big, near intimate places. Still in a drowsy state, she couldn't get past how nice it felt. She liked the warm, dry, slightly rough weight of his hand. Everything in her wanted to arch into his pets. Beautiful Sophie. Wanna keep you. Will you let me? You're a good girl, aren't you, Sophie? Micah, she whispered. A deep, pleased groan escaped him. That's it. Say my name. Say who owns you. That hand went up her ribs. So close to the bottom of her breast, she wiggled her hips a little, feeling tingles and heat and urgency, things she'd never felt before. Her body felt safe, wanted, desired, but her sleepy mind was waking up, trying to warn her, to remind her. She said his name again. Micah. She needed to tell him to stop, to leave her alone, to let her go. So fucking soft and perfect. His lips brushed her cheek with little touches. He was kissing her. This man, this incredibly good-looking man, this incredibly looking adult man, who could probably have any girl he wanted, was kissing the spot near her right eye, her cheek, to the corner of her lips, a seductive press that felt sweet and beautiful. She touched his face, her fingers testing the rough texture of his shaved cheek up to the short buzz of his hair. The moment felt magical, impossible, that a man like Micah desired her. He overwhelmed her, frightened her. How did she reconcile this seduction with the fact that it was unwelcome? Give me that mouth. Give me that innocence. Turning toward the feel of his kisses, he found her mouth, kissed her top lip, her bottom, the corner, brought a hand up to hold her throat as he taught her about kissing with coaxing little touches. She'd never been kissed, kept her eye on her goal, was sure there was nothing that could make her want or need it. That sloppy mouth-on-mouth thing she saw in the hallways and schoolyard wasn't worth her time. But now, she found herself overcome, chasing Micah's mouth, wanting it, fascinated by the plush texture of his lips, the taste of his breath, the tease of his tongue. Sophie lost herself, taken over by needy, building urges. She needed his mouth. She needed to know, to understand. She wanted his taste. this was kissing, and she liked it. His tongue touched her bottom lip as his hand moved from her throat and heat opened up over her breast, learning the shape of her, the feel of her. She made a noise between distress and pleasure, arching into the touch, following, uninhibited, his example. He led her to a place of no return. With the shirt she wore rucked up, he touched her freely, cupped and shaped her breast, brushed his thumb back and forth over her nipple. You were made for this, baby. Made to be touched like this. You like it. Need it, don't you? Thought yourself a cold little ice princess, when all along, you were just a frightened girl. Now you're my girl. These are my tits. This is my innocence. Gonna own it. No one can take it from me now. No one can take it from me. No one. Sophie whimpered as that thumb brushed back and forth over her nipple, awakening nerves she didn't know she had. Suddenly, squeezing her breast to the point of pain, she arched, her free hand moving to cover his. It surprised her, shocked her. She tried to tear her mouth away, but he leaned in, trapping her so easily. You never been owned before? You don't know how to behave like a good girl. You don't know how to take everything I give you. He pulled back a bit, gave her his eyes. His look wasn't soft and coaxing. It was hard and scary and sent thrills from the tips of her breasts to her feminine place, to her hidden feminine place between her legs. Moving his hand to her other breast, gentle at first, cupping and lifting, admiring her, she relaxed again. Maybe it had been an accident. Maybe she misunderstood. She didn't. It wasn't. He squeezed once, twice, tight and uncomfortable before finding a nipple and pinching it. Stop, she said, trying to twist away, yanking at his hands. His legs slowed up to pin her hips, grabbed her hand, forcing it to her side with ridiculous ease. He could do anything he wanted, demonstrated it by pulling on her sensitive flesh, pinching, twisting, rubbing. She tried to squirm free. He gave her more of his weight, showing her that resistance was useless. Chuckling at her twisting, he asked, "What did you think, little kitten? Did you think I'd be your pet junkyard dog? Did you think I wasn't going to take what I wanted? That I was a nice guy? Look at those pretty breasts of yours. Tight little nips getting all red and swollen. Fuck, what a color." He played until her nipples felt hot, pinching and rubbing while she cried. She babbled something, noises, told him to stop. Asked him, "I want to hear something. Talk to me. Tell me who owns this innocence. Tell me who you are going to give this innocence up to," he demanded. "I want to hear something. Talk to me. Tell me who owns this innocence. Tell me who you're going to give this innocence up to," he demanded. He moved her again, so that his face was near her chest, and he could nuzzle into her flesh, mouth opening on her. She screamed when he sucked hard on the skin near her nipple. It hurt. "Tell me, Sophie. You're here in my bed, in my house." "What? What?" She couldn't talk, couldn't understand his demands through her struggles. Moving so that he was lying on her, he mounded up her breasts and placed his face between, kissing and sucking at her skin. Her hands, suddenly free, she tried to push him off. He didn't budge. Bringing her hands down hard on his shoulders, She pounded at his back. Snapping up her wrist, quick as a snake, he barked, "Stop it." It was no effort at all for him to force her, arms jarringly down above her head. That's no way to act. The warning coldness in his voice startled her, made Sophie gasp. Frozen in fear, she looked at him for direction. "You don't scratch or hit me, baby, or I'll whip your ass and you won't sit for a week, yeah?"
"Hurts,"
she whimpered, trying to catch her breath.
"Please stop. Please. Said you wouldn't hurt me."
His eyebrows lowered. "This isn't pain. You don't know pain. You just need to learn to play." He kissed her again, nipped her lip when she tried to turn her head away. "Maybe you need my belt. Is that what you need to understand? Belt? On your fine ass." He clarified, kissing her gently again, teasing her with those soft, delicious touches of his mouth while holding her hands pinned above her head. "You haven't told me what I want to hear. Haven't told me who all this unspoiled innocence belongs to. Who does it belong to? Who are you going to give it up to?"
"I don't want..."
He interrupted her, slamming her arms down on the bed, shaking her. Deep voice, a beastly growl. Don't care the fuck what you want. You tell me what I want." He let her arms go, almost throwing them down, sat up over her. "Done teaching with words. Words don't work. I know what the fuck will work." She felt him shift to get off the bed, to leave her, to get his belt.
"No, no,"
she gasped out. I'm sorry, I don't understand," she cried. Stopping, his hands went to her neck, just the lightest of pressure, as he leaned in close. "We'll get some understanding. I say shit, you do shit. Got it? This is how this is going to work. My house, my rules. I can get my belt. That don't work? I can take you out there. Let Jumper and Dante play with you. Change your mind, yeah? You want to escape me? Deal with the little dogs? Starlight, there are a couple of little dogs right out this door. You better get some fucking understanding and start listening."
"What is happening?"
Her heart rate beat hard in her chest. She didn't know what was happening.
"What do you want?"
"This is happening because of your little sightseeing trip, Sophie. Because I found you first. This fucking hot body all wrapped up in innocent. That rain came down. Turned you from a stupid white girl waiting for a bus on the very edge of the hell zone into a sex kitten just waiting to be owned.
I don't.
Scratch that, not how it's written.
I don't,
she began, thinking if she told him she wasn't a sex kitten and didn't want to become one, he'd leave her alone. But he interrupted her. "Told you. I know that, baby. Any man can see that. You being untouched and so right makes it better. Pure temptation. Someone going to snatch you up and sell that innocent for thousands of dollars. Scared little girl like you. You just let it happen."
"No."
"Oh, yes. Yes, you would. You think I'm the worst thing to happen to you? You think my belt is bad?" Fingers played over her face, wiping away her tears. He touched her wet eyelashes, traced her eyebrows. I wouldn't let that happen. He made a grunting noise. You practically invited it, coming here for your photos. If I hadn't gotten you first, someone else would have. Eyes already on you. Lucky it was me who got the call. Me who got you first. Got the call? She asked. Someone had called him? You stand out like you don't belong. Every predator on that street knew you were there. Stranded. You were lucky. I was already headed in that direction. Those are my people. I was born in that street. But I know I'm not the only thug who got a phone call. They were watching me all day, baby. All day long. Someone had eyes on you. You know what I'm after. Let me hear the words. Last time, I'm being nice. Telling you like it is. Giving you understanding. Now, you tell me who owns this innocence. He leaned back so she could see all the dark warning of his expression in the moving lights of the TV. You own, she stumbled, licked her lips. How could she say this? You own me? It finally came out like an uncertain question. Was that what he wanted? How could he own her, like a slave? She had no idea what he was thinking. Good girl. That's right. I own you. All your pain, all your pleasure. Sometimes it's gonna hurt. And you're just gonna take it. You're gonna give me your tears. And fucking take everything I have for you. Because you're mine and I own you. But why? Why would you want that? She couldn't help the stupid, mystified question. He didn't sound like he just wanted sex, to use her once or twice. Ownership was long term. Oh, sweet baby girl. So clean, so good. I guess I'll have to show you, teach you, why someone like me would want to eat up something as tasty and sweet as you. He kissed her again, mouth open and tongue inside, raw and insistent. She yielded, kissing him back, collapsing under his skilled dominance. Again. Say it again, he said between kisses. You own me, she breathed as his mouth went back to her cheek, her jaw, and her neck. One hand bracing himself, the other, back on her breast. He went back to playing with her, brushing back and forth over the nipple he had tormented, the zing of it. Part fear. He would hurt her again. Part sensitized pleasure, making her dizzy with uncertainty. He did that sucking thing again and again, the sharp sting of it and feel of his teeth making her whine. Harsh then, gentle, and back again, making him impossible to predict. She couldn't drift away, couldn't find any way to shut him out and escape in her head. He pulled the shirt she was wearing, tossed it aside. He spread her legs so he could sit back on his knees without crushing her bones. He did more than just look. He devoured, ate her up with his eyes, savoring the lewd display she made for him. The rod of his manhood made his snug-fitting boxer briefs, bulge outward. She'd seen naked men before, on the computer, in photography books, but the reality of this huge man tucked inside his briefs, the head straining the elastic band like it could pop out at any second, was much different than a photo. Shit. 19 in every fucking guy's jerk fantasy. Tits, hips, and ass. Nipples standing up hot from my touches, just begging for my attention. That tiny little ball cunt. You wax? Sophie blushed. She'd had curls there, but they were more yellow than on her head. Her mother had seen her dressing one day, told her she looked like a dog that peed on herself, and took Sophie as a gift on her 17th birthday to get waxed. It hurt like hell, and she hated it. She cried after, feeling humiliated. But when the coarse hair had started to grow back, she'd been crazy itchy and uncomfortable from it, and she decided to keep it that way. She answered with a small nod. "Words," he commanded sharply. "Yes." "No secrets for me, Sophie. I'm going to know all of you, every tiny bit of you. You on birth control?"
"No."
"Huh? Don't like that. We need to take care of that. You're too young to be my baby mama yet." She agreed, but it sounded like this wasn't just one time, like he wasn't just going to force himself inside of her once and then walk away. "I'm not gonna suit up for this sweet pussy, though. Not gonna. You can take the morning after pill."
"Please, Micah."
She sat up, almost tried to scramble away when she heard that.
"No, I don't believe in that."
A sharp, hot sob caught in her throat. He could make her. He could force her. And what would she do if he did that? He caught her before she could get anywhere, pulled her between his legs, sat on her thighs in one quick movement. "No? You don't want that? Got some religion or something?" he asked, curiosity, not derision, in her tone. Not derision in his tone.
"Please don't make me. Please, I can't. I just can't."
She put her hands on his thick, veiny forearms, looked him in the eye, and willed him to understand. "Fuck. That's not what I want to hear. Not at all. You'll get an implant for me then, yeah? We'll go to the clinic tomorrow."
Okay, I'll do that then,"
Sophie answered, not thinking it through, just relieved he'd given her a choice, giving her some kind of choice. He opened his hands over her knees, smoothed up and down. She was naked, and he could see everything. He could do anything. Sophie whimpered. "Poor scared little baby. No boyfriend. Ever? Anything?"
"No.
No touches, no kisses." "You touch yourself?" That question. How could he ask that? Even in the dark, his eyes burned her with that dirty question. He made a growling noise. "A little. Sometimes. Not really. Before my period," she blurted, shamed. He'd moved his hands, and now she covered her face with her own, hiding. This kind of honesty was worse than being naked.
"Yeah?
Baby gets ripe and ready before a period. How do you touch yourself?" He sounded delighted by the information. Micah took her hands away from her face and told her to open her eyes and look at him. Every command had an underlying threat now. She groaned, low and long, almost a howl. His hand closed over her mouth, making her stop. Before his thumb slid across her bottom lip, inside and onto her tongue, pressing down. "None of that," he whispered, low and dark. "I jack off when there's no one I want to be fucking. I want to know if you do too. Tell me." Eyes holding hers, he took his finger from her mouth and put it to his, tasting her. Curious, she watched him wet more fingers before that hand went down. and touched between her legs. Micah. She bucked, said his name, a choked sob. He stroked her with soft, gentle, barely there touches. My baby wet. He smirked with approval. At some point, to her shock, her vulva had swollen, the little hill of her clit standing up firm and imprudent, just like it got before her period. That relentless, needy feeling had started, the one that made her need pressure. Drove her to stick her stuffed bunny between her legs and hump its hard nose. She wanted this to stop, right? Didn't like him. How could anything feel good? Why did she feel this need now? He stroked her slit, a careful up and down movement that didn't part the folds, just tormented her with the potential, with the intimacy of his hand. She felt everything. Everything. What did I ask you? Not my hand. I have a stuffed animal. Fuck, he gasped, hips jerking a bit. Such a baby. Such innocence. And she is all fucking mine. Tell me that. And think I'm gonna let you escape, walk away? His hand pressed in, laying back. She couldn't see what he was doing. Instead, felt the little circles he was making, a soft, careful touch as he watched her face for signals. This feel good? He laid down next to her again, positioned her like she weighed nothing. Her head on his arm, his palm between her legs, her leg lifted over his, keeping her open, wide to his touch. Answer me, Sophie. Yes, she whispered, not wanting to admit it, not wanting him to hear her. You ever come? He asked. His limbs were so long, the arm behind her wrapped around her front, holding her close, trapped her with an open palm on her breast. Sophie couldn't escape, so she turned her face inward, trying to hide against him, trying to hide from what was happening. Don't know, she answered. Can't have that. You need to know. You're getting so wet for me. Being so good for me. I like that. That will get you rewarded. This is how it goes. You do what I say. I always make you feel good. You don't do what I say. Only I get to feel good. You get that? Make sense? It didn't. Nothing made sense, and it didn't sound fair. Yes, she told him, what he expected to hear. He moved her clit with those little circles of his, and it was so much better than anything she'd ever done for herself. His face was in her hair, inhaling her, and she turned into him, helpless, lost. He kept the touch steady, kissing her now and then, focused completely on her, and the simulation that pushed her higher and higher. Sophie tried to stay still and deny the pleasure, breathing through her mouth. She held back the sounds that wanted to escape, but Micah knew what to do. Everything was right. His breath in her ear, the hand holding her breast, just cupping her, cradling, and his maddening touch. Soon enough, he broke her with perfection. Crushed her resistance until all she could focus on was getting more, managing to hold back her noises until he moved his hand, shifting his hips. She cried out, "Don't stop, please." Because in some insane way, she needed his hand there, and it was worth everything. Instead of berating her, he shushed her, reminded her to take what he gave. His sensual mouth kissed the side of her head, teeth nibbling at the top of her ear, bucking his hips. He did something behind her, opened himself so that she felt the silk of his skin, the tickle of his hair. moved his brief and freed himself. His thing, he had his penis out, and it felt incredible, fitting himself in the crotch between her legs from behind. She moaned his name. The sound twisted up with need and fear. Yes and no, Micah. Together, Starlight. We do this together, he told her. She wanted to sit up and see, to pull away, to press in, but he held her, told her what to do. Stay here. Stay open. Just like this, he grunted, taking her hand and bringing it down between her legs. Put your hand here, he told her. Her immediate response was to try and pull away, but he slapped her thigh hard and she cried out. She submitted to him. It was wet, full. He made a few short, tight movements with his hips, groaning low, saying something she didn't hear as he arched in behind her. The fat head of his cock fit just right between the folds of her sex, gently touching the fleshy bundle of nerves he had been circling with his fingers. Made to fit there, holding that heat in her hand, she could put him where she wanted him, get what she needed. But it was strange. There was something under her fingers besides his cock, round and ball-shaped. She couldn't imagine what she was feeling. Couldn't ask, because he was moving against her. His arm across her chest, above her exposed, shaking breasts, his other pulling her thigh up and away so that she couldn't close her legs and stop the languid caresses. Took her right back to the place of intensity where he'd had her before. Give me a taste of that innocence. I'm gonna dirty you up. Don't press in too hard. You'll push me in. I won't fucking stop. I'll fuck right into that tiny little hole of yours, Micah warned huskily. She made noises back at him, unable to form words, close to something, just on the verge. Let it happen. Come on me. Come all over my dick. Do it, baby. Give it to me.